The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Beautiful version of Psalm 23, don't you think? How true it is. The Good Shepherd is a King of Love. A King of Love. And that's what he shows in the Lord's Supper. That is what he shows again and again through his Word and Spirit. As believers, we affirm that he is the King of Love. We believe it. That's our hope. Everything in our lives, when we are his sheep by grace, shows us his love. And there's especially two situations when it's hard to see in our lives that he is a King of Love, that we are tempted to doubt that Good Shepherd. And the first is when we are wayward and not following the Good Shepherd, then it's hard to experience his love. And the second is when we find ourselves in dark valleys, the valleys of life. In those moments, it's easy to lose sight of this truth that he is the King of Love. We focus on what makes us afraid. And so as we continue to listen to Psalm 23 this evening, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper next week, we would like to consider those kind of circumstances which can make us afraid, where when we are wayward or when we are in the dark, and even then, how the Lord cares for his sheep. So for this preparatory message, we focus on the verses 3 and 4 from Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake, verse 3. And verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So our theme is my shepherd's love for me, when wayward, when in the dark. First of all, when wayward, do you see that sheep over there? It's far from the flock. It doesn't look too happy. It doesn't look very content. Scratches all over. It has been wandering from the flock. It saw some attractive flowers, but it turned out they were weeds. And it ate some and ate some more. They looked attractive. And the voice of the Good Shepherd became more and more a distant voice. But the sheep kept going away from the flock. They were warning signs. But the sheep thought, well, I can do it on my own. The reality of life of God's children is that we are still, after grace, even then, prone to wander. And Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God of love. Waywardness is not just a reality for those who are no part of Christ's flock, are the goats. Waywardness can even be among those who know Christ. We often call it backsliding. Think about backsliding as you are on a hill and you slide back. You're climbing a hill, as it were, and you slide back. That's the idea. How does the believer wander from the shepherd? And how do you know whether you are not close to the shepherd at this time? And how do you know that you are backslidden? Now, let me ask some questions. It's examination. We are to examine our hearts for the Lord's Supper this evening. Let me begin. What about your prayer life? How would you say? That's a humbling question, isn't it? I find. How would you say is your prayer life? Do you have set times? And are you praying alone, or are you just only praying at a mealtime, perhaps? And And if you're praying, how are you praying? Is it connection? Connection with the living God. How's your Bible reading? Are you feeding? Are you listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Is it a joy, or do you say, well, it's a chore? Do you hear sometimes the voice of the Good Shepherd in the morning when you come to your Bible reading and he is speaking and you know that this is from the Shepherd? He knows my situation. Or is it perhaps that the word seems to only rebuke you? Or does it seem all the way quiet? You can discern the voice of the Lord. So, prayer life, Bible reading, look at your relationships for a moment. Are you peaceful? We heard something about it, about the friction this morning. Is it strife or argument? Or do you have peaceful relationships with one another and especially with the Lord? You know He has spoken peace to my soul. How is it? See, if you say tonight, I don't care much for prayer at this time and the voice of the Lord is not a real thing in my life through the Bible, through reading, or from this preaching, and my closest relationships are not running as smoothly as they could, and it's not because you are trying hard, but it's just because, you know, there's something not right in your heart. And you don't feel close to the Lord. Well, that's an indication that you have been wandering away from the Good Shepherd. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are not a sheep of the Good Shepherd, but wandered from the Good Shepherd. Especially if you have heard in the past, you have had those times where you felt God was close. He was near to your soul. But if you say tonight, well, I don't know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I've never heard it. I have no desire to really follow him. I'm living, actually, if I'm honest, I live for myself. Well, that's a clear indication that you're not a sheep of the Good Shepherd and of the flock of Christ yet. I hope it's yet. Because there's two marks that a sheep of Christ has, two marks by which you can know you are a sheep of this flock. The Lord Jesus says it. An earmark, children, boys, girls, young people, an earmark. You've seen sheep, right? Or cows or cattle. They have an earmark, right? Or some sheep are branded, or some... others are branded, but sometimes they have this earmark. My sheep hear my voice. That's the earmark. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give them eternal life. Did you hear the second mark? Footmark. Where do your feet go? A footmark. They follow me. In other words, they have a desire to live an obedient life. Those are the two marks. Earmark, footmark. And so if these marks are absent in your life and we examine that, we need to search ourselves. If that's absent, then you might claim that you're a sheep of the Good Shepherd, but then I would say to you, is it a valid claim? And don't let that drive you away from the Good Shepherd. No, let that drive you to the Good Shepherd. Don't let it make you panic. Let it drive you to the King of Love. Because what does our text say? He restoreth my soul. That's his work. It should drive us to him. He can do it. And the word here means, literally, he returns my soul. It's the word for repentance in the Old Testament. He turns me back to himself. That's what he does. Repentance is a gift of the Good Shepherd. He gives that, especially to those who are wayward. It's a wonderful gift of the shepherd. Wayward sheep, wandering sheep, backslidden sheep, even sheep that are maybe not yet, have not yet heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, who are not yet of his fold, they hear his voice and he brings them back from their waywardness, out of their sins. He restores them. He restores my soul, my inward being. First repentance or fresh repentance. There's a gift, a good gift from the Good Shepherd. What is repentance? Well, we see our sins for what they are. We are sorry for our sins. And we see against whom we have sinned. A good shepherd, a gracious shepherd who invites us, who knows what is best for us, who gives us all kinds of things to richly enjoy his goodness. And we are ashamed that we sin against such a good God. That is true repentance. It gives us a hatred against sin. And we truly are brought back to the good shepherd. Isn't that amazing? The good shepherd told a parable about himself, remember? I leave the 99 sheep who are safely in the fold and I look for that one sheep. Isn't that amazing? That one lost sheep, he goes after it. And it doesn't matter how he finds it, broken, wounded, rolled over perhaps, or unable to help, or dirty, or bleating helplessly, or maybe stuck under a fence somewhere, or wandering in a wasteland, a desert land, or drinking filthy waters, whatever it is. But he seeks it through the preaching of the word, through the scripture reading. And then he finds it. He takes it, he lifts it up gently on his shoulders. And you know what? His heart is full of joy. I found my sheep. A wandering sheep. And he returns to the fold. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? He restores my soul. He brings me back from wandering. A wayward sheep. And there is not only joy in the heart of the good shepherd, there's joy in heaven when one sinner repents, we read in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? When we are drawn to this shepherd and we repent of our sins and we say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm such a filthy wandering sheep. And we are brought back. There's joy in heaven. Joy in heaven. Yes, repentance is not nice in a certain sense because it's kind of bitter. It's kind of bittersweet. It's humbling. It's humbling to acknowledge that you are a sinner, a filthy sinner, who has this tendency to wander, you and I. But it is such a blessing when the shepherd goes after us, and brings us back. Do you know something of that in your own life? When you feel so stuck, maybe in your sins, and you cry out, and there's prayers going to the Lord, Lord, help me, help me. And then he comes, and he shows his love. And he gives you repentance. And he brings you back. That's all we need. a good shepherd to bring us back, to carry us back. That's what we need in this week of preparation as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. A fresh repentance. Lord, search my heart, know it, see if there's any wickedness in me, lead me in the way everlasting. That's basically saying, good shepherd, come and get me out of my sins. And then a fresh view of the good shepherd, his grace, his mercy, his goodness. Because let's face it, repentance shows the love of the shepherd. That's what it is. Repentance shows that the shepherd loves us, actually. That we have a good shepherd. Isn't that wonderful? Repentance shows that when the good shepherd... let's put it like this. If he would let us be stuck in our sins, then that shows we don't have a good shepherd. But if he gives you repentance, then that means you have a good shepherd. A good shepherd who leads you in the paths of righteousness. Because that's what it says, right? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Let me give you an example from the scriptures. Young people, boys, girls, listen. Peter is his name. A strayed sheep, stuck. He thought he would do pretty well on his own, right? If all forsake the Lord Jesus, I don't. I'm ready to die and go to death with him and into prison. Good shepherd saw it in his heart, pride, self-confidence. And often when we have these kind of sins, we don't see it ourselves so well. But for others, it was clear to see. And the good shepherd said to Peter, Peter, you will deny me three times. Oh, no, not me. But that's exactly what happened. But listen to this good shepherd, what he does for each one of his sheep. He says to Peter, yes, Peter, you are going to be sifted like wheat, right? Sifted like wheat. Wheat was sifted so that the chaff could go, thrown into the air. Peter, you're going to be sifted like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. In other words, I pray for you that you will be led in the paths of righteousness. What happened? Well, we all know what happened, right? I don't know the man. Three times. But then, the eyes of the good shepherd upon Peter. A look of love. And then, tears. Shame. Pain in his heart. I've sinned against my good shepherd. I've denied him. Heartbroken. You see that? That's how Christ brings sinners back to himself. A look of love. A look of love from the good shepherd. Romans 3, I believe, the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. See that? You see that, right? And then the Lord Jesus comes again, leading Peter in the ways of righteousness. When he was running off again and said, well, I'm going to fish, right? I'm going back to my old things. No, Christ comes, the good shepherd seeks one again. And he comes and says, Peter, do you love me? Three times. And again, that sadness settles in his heart. Do you love me? Deny three times. Three times that question. Do you love me? Do you really love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. That's the path of righteousness. That's the path for you, Peter. Feed my sheep. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Dear congregation, these are special moments when they are in our lives because they show we have a good shepherd. When we come to repentance, and yes, when there are painful questions asked about our sin, and when there is this look of love from Jesus, and when he takes us by the hand and say, this is the way, walk in it, this is the path of righteousness, that's how he restores us. But that's grace. Wonderful grace. Glorious grace. Maybe you say, well, what does it mean when he leads me in the path of righteousness? Now, the idea here really is ruts. Ruts. Ruts made by the wheels of an ox cart. That's the idea. That's the word here. So safe paths, straight paths, right paths, well-trodden paths. The path that all the sheep of the shepherd walk. What does that mean? Well, let's make it more practical. We learn to love the Lord Jesus. We turn away from our sin, and we learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ and his honor and glory, and we want him to be glorified in our lives. We learn to say, Lord Jesus, not my will be done, but your will be done, and to joyfully submit to him. Whatever happens, you want obedience. What else? You learn to serve others because you know I have such a good shepherd who loves me. Shall I not give my life for others to serve them, to bless them? He has blessed me so much. And you learn to not listen to the voices of the crowds. Now, you might have to walk alone sometimes, be alone with the Lord to listen to his voice. Not the crowds. And you learn humility. It's a lesson. It's a difficult lesson. And you learn thankfulness. You learn that everything comes from him. Everything comes from him. Content in whatever state we are. Those are the paths of righteousness. Submission, glorifying God, serving others, not following the crowds, humility, thankfulness, contentment. These are blessings that he teaches you as the good shepherd that change your life. And the greatest blessing is that he does it not because of who we are, not because we never stumble, never go astray anymore. No, no, no. It's because of the goal that he has in mind. Because what does our text say? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's actually liberating, if we understand it correctly. He doesn't save you and me because we are such good people. Not at all. The opposite. No, he saves us because he loves us. He doesn't save us because we do such a good job loving him and praising him, adoring him and thanking him and all that. No, 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 no. He glorifies his name in seeking lost sheep. And he leads us into the paths of righteousness. He loves us out of our sins into the paths of righteousness. And he does it all for his name's sake. To bring glory to himself, to show his glorious grace, to show his glorious love, and to show his glorious protection and care and guidance. That's our first point. The shepherd shows his love for me when wayward. Well, that's not all he does. He also cares for me when I'm in the dark. And that brings us to our second thought. Let me quote that hymn again, that version of Psalm 23, "The King of Love, my shepherd is. Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me." Verse 4, we hear the echoes, right? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Can you believe it? In the darkness, you hear a sheep sing. He cares for me, even when I'm in the dark valleys. In our minds, we can all picture this, I trust. We see the shepherd go before, and the sheep are following in a line obediently. Where are they going? They are going to higher grazing grounds. They need to go through scary ravines, up the road, up the mountain, because there is green grass. Something better is awaiting. But to get there, how do you get there? You have to pass through these scary valleys, and you have to go through these narrow ravines, and some of those ravines, they get only a couple of hours of light in sunlight in them per day. And some of those ravines, there are wild animals, and there could be robbers hiding behind some of the rocks. And some of those ravines have these dark waters flowing them. And if you can see it very well, and you hear the rushing water, it might scare you. But they need to be crossed, because we are going higher ground. We're going to the green pastures, higher. And the shepherd knows what is best. And the sheep need to follow. It's because the shepherd loves and cares for his sheep that he leads through those dark valleys and those dark ravines and like that. Ever wondered what the valley of the shadow of death is? It literally means valley of deep shadow, deep darkness, of gloom and foreboding. The strongest word for the Hebrew language that is used here. Our translation is correct when it says shadow of death. But it doesn't necessarily mean it means exactly death. But it is the shadows of death. So what do these valleys represent in our lives? In the lives of Christ's sheep? I think about four things. First of all, the difficulties and the trials of life. There are situations when we find ourselves, and every sheep of Christ find ourselves scared. We all know when the sun shines, we can see and it's bright, but when the sun is hidden, it's dark. And we can feel scared. And we can say, okay, well, where are we going? Where are we going? Where is the Lord leading us? I can't see it. Follow me. Follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Difficulties, uncertainties. That's what the valleys of the shadow of death stand for. It can be dark. It's not always clear. Can make us fearful, overwhelmed, challenges. We don't know if we can handle. Think about David in his own life. What challenges he had. What life-threatening experience he had. Saul pursuing. Absalom pursuing it. Battles to fight. The bears that he used to fight when he was a young shepherd, they pale in comparison. Dark valleys, difficulty. Can you relate to that? Unknown future, trials, health, job, trials about a child, perhaps, or family member. Dark valleys, difficulties. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Second, the valleys here can be depressive darkness. Did you know that Spurgeon struggled with depression? That great preacher? You would say, well, no, he not. No, of course not. No, he did. He struggled with depressions. He said that he had to go through lanes, cutthroat lanes, that he felt just so pounded by Satan, pounded by the enemy, temptations, dark lanes where there were, or paths that were, as were fiery, like fiery serpents, he write, and my soul is among lions. Depression. Have you ever suffered from that? Some of us can relate to that. We seem to have no comfort. It seems dark. Thoughts are depressed. Bunyan, young people, do you know Pilgrim's Progress, that book that Bunyan wrote, that allegory? There is this valley of the shadow of death, right? And he walks through it and he hears all these voices and all these scary things. And as he walks, he has a hard time keeping to trust the promises of God. He can discern very well what is God's voice and what is the Satan's voice and what is the tempter's voice. Those can be the experiences when you go through a depression. Dark valleys. Valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you know something about it, even when you don't feel it, trust God's word. He is with you there. He is. Even when you can't see it. The third thing is they stand for the Christ sheep when they are driven by false shepherds. We read something about that, right? Ezekiel 34. We read about false shepherds who had driven the flock away, scattered. That's in the Old Testament. They were not governing the flock, the people of Israel, the people of God, according to the leadership they had to do. They manipulated. They dirtied the water. They forced and all that. We think about some what we see in our world, don't we? Some of those forces in our culture, well, maybe we don't hear so much about it, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, homosexual agenda, that we hear quite a lot about that, transgender agenda, those kind of things. Pushing with their sides and with their horns, shoulders, the diseased and scattering people. Not for their good. No, no, no. It's not for their good. Not at all. In a society like that, we can be maybe sometimes fearful. We think, what a darkness. It is. It is a darkness. And did you hear that chapter? What God said in the days of Ezekiel, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. It's two things. Search my sheep. I will locate them. Where are they? And seek them out. Come closer to do them good. He promises in that chapter over and over that he will care for his flock. Did you notice? I will feed them in a good pasture, high mountain, lie down in a good fold. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. I will seek them, that which was lost, and bring it again, that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Did you hear that? I will. That's God's promises. I will seek out my sheep. I will bring them together out of all places where they are scattered. We are living in dark times, we can say in a certain sense, definitely. But there is a gospel that God seeks lost sheep, also in our day. And that we can trust Him even in the darkness of our day. And that He seeks even those who are being cruelly treated by shepherds, false shepherds. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that brings us to a last valley here that stands for death itself. Because if you are Christ's sheep, you have a glorious assurance that He will bring you through death to higher grounds, to glory forever, eternal bliss, a place where you can ever lay down and rest and rejoice in your good shepherd, where you will bask at the table of His eternal banquet in the Lord's presence forever, dwell in His house forever, as we hope to hear next Sunday, Lord willing. Through death, if you're His sheep, He will bring you through. It's only a passageway to something better. Thou art with me when we follow, when we listen to His voice. That's all we need to know for all the darkness and all the difficulties and all the trials of our lives. And even death itself. Thou art with me. To trust His word. And not to think, okay, what can happen? Robbers, poisonous snakes, dark shadows, or whatever it is in your life that makes you scared. The promise is, if you're His sheep, if you listen to His voice, I am with you. That's all you need. That's all I need. When you enter a dark valley in your life, when you are going maybe through right now, I am with you. I will not fear, for Thou art with me. And as you go through this dark valley, perhaps, maybe some of us are going through dark valleys. I don't know. Think about Jesus. Think what He all had to go through. The Good Shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. The difficulties, the trials, when He came from heaven and came through this earth, it was a dark valley compared to heaven, the glory of heaven. Difficulties. Think about His life, especially when you read the gospel, constantly driven by false shepherds. Driven. Pushing. As a result, He was crucified. And scourged and crucified. Think about the darkness that He endured in Gethsemane. The dark agony of His soul so that He sweat great drops of blood. The depression, we would say. When he knew what was coming and He wanted to do the will of His Father. Think about Him who went all the way through death. The valley of the shadow. No, it was death itself. He took hold of death. He conquered death. He went into death. Hebrews tells us that He tasted it. He tasted the bitter cup of death. Darkness. So that He can say to those who go through dark valleys, I'm with you. I know what it is. I know. Thou art with me. Can you say that too? His promise is, I am with you always. In life, in death, in darkness, in difficulty, I am with you. We read the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper. We read that He was forsaken and suffered hellish agonies so that you, believer, can say, I will never, ever be forsaken of Him. I'm with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In those dark valleys, the rod and the staff, what are they for? Well, the rod, what was it? It was a short stick. It was a club. It was thrown when a sheep would, when the shepherd's eye would see, hey, sheep is wandering. He threw it and over it so that the sheep would come back to the fold. To warn them, you've walked away. Or he would throw it at a wild animal coming to devour the flock. He would throw it. So what does the rod stand for? It stands for protection. What is the comfort of a Christian? I'm protected by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the comfort of a sheep? None will ever pluck them out of my hand, Jesus said. You're safe. You're protected. That's your comfort. Will you trust him? Will you trust him today for such protection? His rod will comfort me, but also his staff. What is his staff? It's a longer stick, and it has this crook at the end. And what does the shepherd use it for? Well, he had to separate the lambs and the mother sheep, or draw a group together and hurdle them together. Or the sheep had fallen into a ravine, and then he would take that crook, and he drew the sheep back up. What does it stand for? His care and his guidance through life. Jesus is that good shepherd. He's able to lift you out of the most horrible pit. Jesus is a good shepherd who can, as we heard, lead in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Will you trust him for that, to do that for you? If you do, you can say truly, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And the Lord is our shepherd. What do we have to fear? He restores us, paths of righteousness. He leads us through dark and gloomy valleys. He promises, I'm with you. His word comforts us. His rod and his staff does so. And he feeds us and leads us and protects us. What else do we want? Will you trust him? Will you trust this King of love today? Will you trust him when you can't see what he's doing in your life? Or when you can't feel anything? Listening to his word, trusting his word, trusting his promises as you prepare yourself this week for the Lord's Supper. Will you trust him? And next week, will you listen for his voice? The voice of the good shepherd who says, come, all things are ready. I've prepared a table for you. Come, feast with me. If you know that this is the voice of your beloved shepherd, if you know that he is the one who restores your soul, and if you trust him to lead you through all of life, whatever happens, even the dark valleys, then you ought to express your love and your thankfulness and your joy at the table of the Lord and say, yes, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want to serve him. I want to love him. I want to hear his voice. I want to feast on his love. Let me close with the fifth stanza of that version of Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table in my sight. Thy unction grace bestoweth. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth, from thy cup flows. Amen.